Caitlin, thanks again for joining me tonight. I'm super excited to finally have this conversation. It's one that we've been chatting about for a while, and I'm going to pick your brain and hope to get as much insight as I can for all the dancers out there.
Awesome.
So, Caitlin, why don't you introduce yourself, but share a little bit about your background, your journey, specifically the shift that you've made and the work that you do now?
So I am Caitlin Sloan. I'm the founder of the Brainy Ballerina. Before I started the Brainy Ballerina, I was a professional ballet dancer for 9 years, and I retired about 5 years ago. At that point, I had gone from dancing full time to teaching full time, and then moved with my husband to a new state and was feeling a little bit lost, trying to figure out what I was doing, like having a little bit of identity crisis and just going through a whole lot. And that's when the Brainy Ballerina started, and really just was born out of my passion for helping dancers be smart dancers in the industry and be able to approach their career from a really intentional way instead of just letting things happen to them, which I think happens a lot. Because we just don't know any better. And so, I work with dancers for in career mentoring to help them, like I just said, kind of approach their careers with more intention, with more of a mindset that they are in control of their careers, that it's not like they have to wait around for somebody else to tell them what to do. It's like they're in control, they're in the driver's seat.
I love that. So much of the work that I do with dancers is really focused in the area of food, nutrition, and even body image, our relationships with food and our bodies. And I think it's incredibly important that dancers not just have that type of guidance, but also have career guidance, because so many dancers, and I want to hear your take on this, but so many dancers, including myself back in the day, I feel like there is just this notion that there's one identity that's right in order for a dancer to feel like they've had a fulfilled career. And it's taken me so long, so much into my other career as a dietitian, what I've done with dance, to learn that everyone's journey in dance looks so different and fulfillment can happen in so many ways. So I'm curious to hear, do you guide dancers not just for their performance careers, but also for other potential avenues that they can go down?
I think it's all encompassing, and like you said, there is hundreds of thousands of different ways to be a dancer, and even just within your performance career, there are so many different ways. And I think it's really easy to get stuck in one small avenue of what you think it's supposed to look like, what you see the dancers at your studio doing, what your teacher tells you should do, all those kind of things. And we look at what we see is like the top 50 companies, like in the US at least, if we're looking at that just kind of narrow area. And so dancers can get really stuck on, like, if I don't make it into one of those companies, I'm not a successful dancer. And there are so many different companies, first of all, if you even just want to stay in the professional ballet realm, right? There's so many more options outside of that. And then beyond that, there's just like a world of options of different ways you can be a dancer. You can be on Broadway, you can dance on cruise ships, you can go do commercial dance, you can start your own company, you can be a choreographer, you can go into be a dietitian. I mean, there's always different things you can do with your career and different ways you can work with dancers and be in the industry and not necessarily have it be exactly how you thought it was going to be in your mind. And I think that's where we get really stuck with this like notion that if it doesn't look exactly like this, it's not right. And that's one of the biggest things I help dancers do is just kind of figure out if they have, a really concrete goal. I think that's good. It's good to have goals, but also to know why is that the goal? Is it because you think it's supposed to be the goal? What do you actually like about that? What do you actually see your life looking like? Are there other options that we could pursue that would also bring you the same fulfillment in your career, if this one particular thing doesn't pan out?
Yeah, I love that you mention the aspect of goal setting and where that takes place for a dancer, the benefits of goal setting for a dancer. So much of the work that I do, again, kind of relating back to food and nutrition, so much of the beginning work starts with intention and goal setting. So I want to hear from you as to, within the work that you do with dancers, within their journey, Are you first looking to identify goals and then assess from there? Like, where does that work come in for you?
That's the first thing, the answers talk about presentation. It's like, okay, well, what's your and a lot of the times I feel like it can either go one of two ways. For most dancers, it's either really vague or because some dancers are just like, wherever I get a job, I'll go, you know? And I think that that can be really vague and it can be hard to find something that's fulfilling if you don't really know what you're trying to do. And of course, when you're younger, you don't necessarily know career. That's what you have is you start to learn about things, get to the root of it. And then on the flip side, it can be so specific. It's like, I want to dance only with New York City Ballet. You know, and then if you don't get a job there, then what do you do? And so in those cases, asking, well, what is it you like about New York City Ballet? Do you want to live in New York City? Do you like Balanchine Works? Do you want to dance in a bigger company where you have more access to different kind of perks, like different things like that? To kind of say, okay, these are all the things you want out of your job. Here are all the companies also offer those things to be looking at. So you don't feel doesn't and it's not to have to go and go for that goal, just to know that change, okay. So that there are other ways of seeing fulfillment. If you get really stuck in that one place, it's really easy to give up.
Yeah, I love this connection between goal setting and defining one's degree of fulfillment. I think it's really parallels, again, the work that I do with dancers in regard to their relationship with food and, you know, first and foremost, identifying what their goals are. You know, are those goals realistic? If they're not, feeling fulfilled is likely not going to be the case. A lot of disappointment might be experienced. So it's so incredibly important to start from the beginning and just with the resources that you're setting out is to identify those realistic career goals as an individual and as a dancer, which kind of brings me to my next big question for you. I know you recently released a fabulous resource for dancers for auditioning, and we're a couple months away, but you know, time does fly. Audition season is going to be around the corner, so I would love to hear a little bit of, from you about any advice with dancers first starting out with the audition process. You know, where do they begin?
So I put out this audition guide now because this is when I think dancers need to start thinking about it. Because what happens is, you get into back to school season and it's really busy. And then you have a tiny bit of a lull, you know, right now. You're still busy. Busy. There's not another whole issue. Now. But, you know, a lull time, and then you're going to be into every season and you're going to be. The biggest thing I think dancers should be doing now is preparing because you want to be able to enjoy the holidays, enjoy Nutcracker, not be stressing about all of your auditions. And so now is the time to get prepared in your classes, to be putting the work in, putting your pointe shoes on in class. I always tell dancers to start doing that now because you, every I've been to a professional company, you ask for your shoes in the center. And a lot of dancers, that was shocking to me when I first started auditioning because that's not how it is for like summer intensives, right? It's totally different. So if you're not wearing your pointe shoes for center, put them on now is like the first thing to do. And then just start getting your materials, get your resume ready, your headliner, videos, all these things, start doing them now because what happens is opportunities come up really fast. Companies like, don't post, don't post, don't post, and it's all at once a flood. Feel, oh my gosh, I'm so stressed. I'm trying to get everything together. I'm trying to plan my audition season. Where am I going to go? Do that now. You might just weeks later. Fine. Done. When opportunities pop up, advantage of be able to go to so many more auditions, to more places because they're already ready. That way opens up way more doors. You have more options now. So don't wait, I would say, because I feel like we people wait till like January because that's when they think about audition season being, but that's when auditions actually start. Now when you need to start prepping for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Same with food, everybody. You know, start working now. It's never too late. Just like you said, dancers are perpetually busy. Those obstacles that make it really challenging for us to fuel our bodies adequately are always going to be there. Starting now, starting yesterday, is the time to prepare yourself for not just your performance seasons, but also your audition seasons. Sometimes I feel, and I don't know if you experience this too with the dancers I work with, they tend to fixate on performance season. So it would end summer intensives, whether it's Nutcracker and then summer, and they kind of forget about the middle aspect mm-hmm. with audition season. So I think it's incredibly important the work that you're doing and sending out these resources. Can you talk to us a little bit more about resumes and what dancers should know? Any tips, any advice that you feel they should know when setting these up?
Yeah, resumes. I mean, the basics, keep it to a page, make sure you include your contact info. I feel like that should go without saying, but like, make it easy for them to contact you, make sure they know who you are. Include your height. You don't need to include your weight. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you say this to your clients, but if you're asking me to include your weight, that could be a very big red flag. Yeah. So they ask, height is something you should include. You don't need your weight. And then from there, just depends on your experience. You know, if you have professional experience, put that first. If you don't have that, start with your training, your education. I put in my audition guide a whole section on resumes and four different templates mm-hmm. to help you, like, for different stages that you're in, to kind of show what it would look like if you're coming out of high school, if you're coming out of college, if you already have pro experience. Like, because what happens is you start off with so much information, and then as you get more experience as a professional, things start to drop off. So something that was relevant when you were first auditioning, 5 years later won't be anymore, but it's hard to know, you know, what to drop off. And what I always say to dancers is, put yourself in the shoes of the director, the audition director, whoever is looking at your resume, and think, would this be relevant to them? Will they care about this? Will they know what mm-hmm. this even means? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're putting, like, I was a soloist in Flower Waltz, you know, like, what is that? No one knows what that is. You know what I mean? So, like, make sure you're wording it in a way that is very clear to whoever's reading it, what your actual experience is. Make sure that if you're including, like, people's names, teachers, choreographers, that I always say, like, if they wouldn't know who you are, don't put them on your resume as someone who trained you. You know, if you went to their master class one time, they shouldn't go on your resume, because if I call them, because that's the thing, the dance world's small, and I get a resume and I say, oh my gosh, they trained with so-and-so and I know them. I'm going to call them, and I call them and say, hey, you know this dancer? And they're like, no. Right? It doesn't look so good. So just think about, like, it's just like your little, a quick little snapshot of your experience that tells us who you are, what you've done. And it just kind of gives us an insight into your background really quickly. And I've had dancers, like, I've had auditions where I've been on the judging table and had dancers who maybe were having a little bit of a rough day. Like, it wasn't their best dancing day, right? But I see the resume and I'm like, oh, they went to the summer intensive, they danced here, they did this. Okay, like, I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt. I can tell that they have this background and, like, they have the technique, and maybe say it's just an off day, and that, like, really can help you stand out. So it is important to make sure you're presenting yourself well on your resume.
Yeah. Such great points. A lot of this, one thing that I'm always telling dancers as well, and I'm sure you are going to agree because a lot of what you're saying is going to tie into this, but it really comes down to doing some research about where you're auditioning, you know, who you're auditioning for, who might be in the audition, where it's going to be, visualizing the environment. Research from all aspects is going to really come into play. So we also, and I'm sure you can speak for this also, we want to be careful with, you know, becoming too general in our resumes and whatever we're providing for the auditions, because in some aspects, we're going to have to tweak some things per audition, right? Things mm-hmm. are going to be different.
Yeah, I always say that, like, your resume should vary for each audition you go to. It doesn't mean that you have to completely reinvent the wheel each time, but yeah, like, prioritize different things. You know, if you're going to audition where it's a more balancing based company, highlight that experience more, put that way at the top. If you're going to audition where it's has more contemporary, make sure you're highlighting that, like, make sure. Or if you're going to audition, you did your research and you saw, oh, a lot of the dancers in the company teach in their school too, and I would love to have that opportunity teaching the school, put that you have teaching experience on there. you know, highlight all these different things, because that also makes you an asset if you have experience in other areas. Or if you see like, wow, the dancers do other jobs in the company. This person does social media. This person does costuming. Like, you can put that stuff on the bottom, you know, under additional experience, to show that you have other skills that could also make you a great asset to the company. So yeah, absolutely do your research and see what kind of things they're really valuing in their dancers, what kind of things they're looking for.
Absolutely. Yeah, this was so insightful. Caitlin, I would love to also just hear a little bit more about how dancers can work with you and what would be the best starting point for a dancer who really wants to start learning more from you.
Yeah, so yeah, follow me over at the Brainy Ballerina on Instagram. It's like my main mode of communication with dancers. And then if you are going into auditions this season, I do have a few resources. The Ultimate is what I just released, and it has months and months of work in progress, because I wanted to make sure it included every single thing you're going to need to get prepped. So that is like all of it. And then I also, of course, do career mentoring one-on-one. So if that's something you're interested in working more closely with someone, and you know, the benefit of that is just having someone else on your team who's going to be able to keep you accountable, to give you good advice, to give you action items that help you just take your goals that we talked about earlier and break it up and into manageable steps, and have somebody checking in on you and saying, did you do that thing? Did you send that audition? You know, like all the different things that you need somebody just on your team. And I think as dancers, we tend to be, we get really stuck in that self-sufficient area where we think we can do it all on our own because we are smart and capable. Mm-hmm. But as I always say, it makes you more smart and more capable to talk to people who've been there, who can help you on your way. You don't have to do it alone. So feel free to reach out to me if you have any questions about career mentoring or any of that. I'm always here.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Leaning into those resources is so incredibly helpful. Dancers have the access, you know, to not just resources that you and I have to offer, but also just, I know you provide a lot of complimentary type of help and resources as well. Your tips on social media are incredible. So highly encouraged for all the dancers watching, both now and later, to go give Caitlin a follow and check her out. Caitlin, thank you so much for joining me tonight. This was such a pleasure, and we will be in touch.